From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today, we're meeting the two people hoping to be the next mayor of the city of Southport. We'll also meet one candidate running for Southport's Board of Aldermen in Ward 1. Karen Mosteller is also the only incumbent seeking re-election in that ward. The other person with an expiring term, Mary Ellen Poole, is not running again. The small seaside city of Southport in Brunswick County, which calls itself the home of salubrious breezes, is divided into two wards, each represented by three people to make up a six-member board. The mayor of the city of Southport serves a two-year term. Aldermen serve four-year terms, which are staggered. In 2010, the city boasted a population of slightly more than 2,800 people. Today, the Census Bureau estimates about 3,600 people call Southport home. Each candidate will talk one-on-one with me today, answering my questions and yours. There are two ways to get your question in during the live Wednesday edition. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org or call us at 910-343-1138. The phone lines are open now. And remember, each candidate appears in only one segment. Today's candidates, with the exception of this next one, are joining us in an order randomly chosen before the show. Joining us now is Karen Mosteller. She has owned her home in Southport since the late 1990s. Before joining the Board of Aldermen, she served on the Planning Board for Southport. According to her campaign website, she grew up in Greensboro. She is currently the Architectural Review Coordinator for Baldhead Association, the largest homeowners association on Baldhead Island, also in Brunswick County. Before that, she says she owned a small business and worked as a realtor. Karen Mosteller, welcome to Coastline.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And if you have your own question for her, call us on this Wednesday, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Karen Mosteller, let's start with the big picture. What's your long-term vision for the city of Southport?
My long-term vision is that in 100 years, whoever's living in my house is having the same experience I am. That would be, if I had a long-term vision,
What is that experience? Describe it.
That experience is a small town, and it's that experience is a historically small town, like where you know your neighbors and where you ride a bike to the restaurant and meet your neighbors and cook with your neighbors. And the town, we have a simple waterfront. I think sometimes we have so many visitors. But they are always smiling, and they always talk about how friendly Southport is. And I mean, even people moving there, new people moving there, always comment about how friendly Southport people are. But when our waterfront is so simple, when you walk up, it's not a paved and, you know, it's not all she, this and that. But it's the simplicity of it and the simple access to the water that's free that we have, which to me speaks to our small town character.
I don't usually bring up what happened during the sound check in a Coastline candidate interview, but I think this is relevant. I asked you, for the purpose of a mic check, where you would travel, and you could time travel if you could go anywhere, and you got very emotional and said you would go back to a time in Southport's history, and this wasn't supposed to be a candidate question, where the trees lined Howe Street. Tell us about that and why that's so important to you.
I think I would have loved to have seen that, you know. Everyone, I get kind of emotional. Everyone in Southport treasures the trees. You know, our waterfront is our economic lifeline, to be sure. But if you want to look for a close second of what we value in Southport, it's going to be our live oak trees. And I, I read something. The Historical Society has these photos that I've seen from them, and it was women in the pharmacy, what used to be the pharmacy when it was really the pharmacy, at a table, and they were mourning those trees coming down. And I can't imagine how it must have felt to be able to drive into Southport down Howe Street, the main street, and the trees be there like that.
As the current liaison on the Board of Aldermen to the Forestry Committee on Southport, that has been kind of a tough nut to crack, pun not intended. There is no clear tree preservation guideline, although the Forestry Committee, as you know, has submitted a text amendment to move forward on this issue. If you didn't have to build consensus, where would you shape that policy? How would you make that tree preservation guideline develop in Southport? What needs to happen that isn't there now?
Well, first of all, we are in the process of bringing forward a tree preservation ordinance. And it's really updating. There was some language already in the UDO, and this is really an update and fleshing out this. In 2011, the Board of Aldermen at that time endorsed a tree plan, and it was a plan about how to care for the trees, and a big, huge document. And then what was to be the sister of that was a tree ordinance, and then because of changes in, I think, city management and planning staff and different things, and so I think that piece of the puzzle never came to fruition, per se. And so now the Forestry Committee has spent the last 15 months working on this document and vetting this document with the School of Government and just different sources. The upshot is, I'm getting lost in it, the upshot is that that document is now in the hands of the planning board, and there will be, at the next planning board meeting, there will be a workshop to discuss it. And back to now how to make a watch, and here's the real answer to your question. What this tree preservation ordinance will create a dialogue. It'll give an opportunity to have a conversation. You know, it's purposefully not onerous on property owners or builders. It's a way to work with everybody's concerns and all the stakeholders. But its primary purpose is to create a vehicle for a conversation. You get a tree permit, so that opens up. It may be that you are thinking you have to take that tree down because you think you have to have parking in this one spot. Well, it may be something that with a conversation through planning and through the ordinance and doing a tree permit, that you find that maybe a variance can be given for that. And so the tree can stay. You can have it all. You can have what you need and keep the tree. So the real purpose of this is to create a dialogue before.
So every time a potential issue comes up where someone might want to take out a tree, instead of just pursuing that route, they would have a dialogue with the city of Southport.
Well, depending on where the tree is. I mean, there are caveats to it, so it's not removing every tree or any of that conversation. But it provides in those situations. And developers, as an example, we had a development that is now being built out, and I'm sure they're going to put back a lot of good stuff, but we did not have, I was on the planning board at the time, and I asked if we could not ask to save some of those trees, and we really didn't have a vehicle to do that, so that wasn't something we could ask of new developer. And developers always want to help. A developer wants to do whatever the city wants them to do. They just need to know what it is. And so, anyway.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. With us now answering your questions, Karen Mosteller. She's running for a second term on Southport's Board of Aldermen in Ward 1. You can ask your own question during the live Wednesday edition by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Karen Mosteller, you are in a unique position, a full-time job on Bald Head Island. Yeah. Serving on Southport's Board of Aldermen, you recently offered to recuse yourself from voting to approve a transportation authority for Bald Head Island's ferry service, eventually moving this service under the purview of the state. Your offer of recusal was accepted. Can you explain why you thought it important to make that offer of recusal? And also, what assurance would Southport stakeholders have that if there are conflicts between the agenda of Baldhead Island and the agenda of Southport, you would move forward with Southport's best interests?
Well, you can just rest assured of that. But I actually work for the HOA. I don't work for the developer. I don't work for the city. So their political conversation and those things are not part of what I do and not part of anything that I do. The reason I recused myself from that vote was really more as a perception. You know, the mayor asked at the beginning of the meeting any perception of a conflict of interest. And I did not, it was not necessary for me to participate in those votes. I asked to not participate because I did, even though. So this is the deal. With the ferry system currently is owned by the developer. Well, the developer is still a property owner. So they have, by virtue of being a property owner, I review their submittals for the HOA. So I just, even though that I don't collect money directly from them or whatever, but my salary is paid by homeowners. So ultimately. So I just didn't want the appearance of that is really what that was all about.
Can you think of another example where that could come up in the future?
Don't want a perception of a conflict. You know, really I can't because the ferry is the one thing that we have in common. You know, we have 70 some acres on our side that's going to be part of that ferry system. So that's really the only conversation I could ever see.
If you win re-election, where do you see the electrical grid going? Does it make sense to keep it under the auspices, the control of Southport, or should this component eventually go over to Brunswick Electric?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. And up until the past probably 6 months, I might have thought differently, but I'd have to tell you that public power, which is what we are now, electric cities is where we buy our power. The public power is a really good thing, and affordability. Right now, if you're able to qualify for all of our load management reductions, you have the lowest rate for electricity, I know in Brunswick County, but it may even be larger than that. Could be even statewide. I don't know. But I do know in Brunswick County, you have the lowest rate. And part of that is public power. And the thing people don't realize, it's not just that we're just buying power from them. There's a lot of cities that do public power. And they, by doing public power, it's as if we've got our own corporation. They helped us redo our website. So everybody needs to go to the new Southport website. It is awesome. Just they have a whole plethora of services that we get just like we would if we were with another corporation. But then we have so many participants that it makes us stronger, especially as a small town.
A hotel is planned for Southport's riverfront. The planning board approved this project to the dismay of nearby property owners. There are really two questions here. First, the specific question about the project. Now that the developer is planning to sell rooms to investors and then have those rented out, is he operating with what the city approved as that business?
As far as I know, he is. The hotel. The zoning for that piece of property allowed that. So there was no conversation really to be had to say, no, you can't do that. So you know, I don't want that to be a misconception.
So that's just a black and white
policy. That was a conversation, question. Right. That was, you know, the UDO provided the ability to do that and
so
the right of use.
The larger question, you as an alderman, how do you balance the desires of neighboring property owners with developers' interests, the balance of forward motion in Southport with staying true to the original kind of small town Southport ethos?
That's an awesome question. I look forward to updating the UDO. I think the UDO and zoning is, you know, that we need to update that periodically is important because that very conversation you've just said of how do we respond to things and how do we plan for our future and control it. We're working right now, the planning board is working on the creation, hopefully, of an entry corridor overlay district for that very reason. That responds to a lot of the question you're talking about. So that we're not trying to control the businesses that are there because, you know what I mean, the service or whatever it is, the business. But if we can keep it looking like it belongs to Southport, then long-term, our sustainability in who we are will be maintained.
And that's our time. Karen Mosteller, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back, we'll meet the first of two candidates for Mayor of Southport, Joe Pat Hatem. And we're taking your questions during this live Wednesday discussion by phone at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.